Welcome to Home But Not Alone with Tim and Sarah, where we talk about real life as a stay-at-home Catholic parent. If it's noon and you're still in your pajamas, have reheated your coffee 3 times and tried to pray but got distracted, this is the place for you. Life is crazy, but through it all, remember, you're never alone. You've got God's grace and our friendship coming your way. Today on Home But Not Alone, we're going to chat about 5 saints every mom needs to know. The saints are powerful intercessors, and we have a lot to learn from the example of the lives they lead. In the previous episode, I let Tim do all the talking with 5 saints every dad needs to know. So if you missed that, go ahead back and check it out. And today, I'd like to share 5 saints every mom needs to know. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Sarah. How are you today?
Good. Doing good today. Hoping that, you know, the baby is all right while we're recording. He's in the other room. He's got his siblings with him. They're settled down. He's snuggling his puppy. So I hope that all goes well.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, have you ever played chess?
Yes. I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, me neither. I have a chess set on my desk, and it was my grandmother. She died in 1997. Same week as Mother Teresa and Princess Diana. And I was told that good Irish women die in threes. Nobody explained to me at the time that neither Princess Diana nor Mother Teresa were Irish. So I have no idea why I was like, oh, sure, I get that. I wonder why the rest of the world, they're all wondering who the third big Irish woman was. And it's my grandma. The chess set was hers, and I'm missing a rook because I have toddlers.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure one of them took it a long time ago, and I don't know where it is. So
I know. Chess is hard because you need all the pieces, and that doesn't happen with games with kids in the house.
Yeah, well, and I don't really have anybody to play with them.
My son plays chess, my 8-year-old, and he kicks my butt every time.
Well, I gotta like Skype in with him and play some digital chess or something.
Yeah, he has this little book. It's like a chess manual, and it tells you like the strategy and everything about, and he reads that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I know.
He's legit. I was the guy in high school who they were like, hey, you should join the chess team. And I was like, no, I'm both bad and don't want to. So I'm not gonna.
Well, if you want your butt kicked, you'll have to play him someday.
That sounds good.
Okay.
So we're talking about some saints today.
Yes. So I'm just going to go in random order. I mean, you went in a really nice chronological order that last time, but I'm not that organized. So I'm just going to go in random order, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, works for me.
Okay. Can we start with Mama Mary?
Oh, we should always start with Mama Mary.
So I have to admit that I haven't always had a devotion to Mama Mary. I kind of struggled with that because to me, like, she's this unattainable vision of perfection. And I just never really found that inspiring. I found it more like, oh, I could never be like that. So, you know, why even? So I had this kind of like personal roadblock in my way that it made it really hard for me to get close to her. But now that I'm a mom, like slowly I feel myself drawing close to her. So I want to tell you the way that I've been connecting with Mother Mary in my parenting. So she's the perfect mother, right? And I'm an imperfect, lousy sometimes mom. And I'm never going to be like Mary, but I'm starting to realize that I don't have to, because she can pick up the pieces like where I fail. So instead of, you know, saying like, okay, I'm going to try to be like Mary, which I do, but instead of like having that as my goal and then like getting all down on myself when I'm not like Mary, because I'm not perfect, I just say, okay, I'm going to use Mary. I look to her as my inspiration and then turn to her, you know, when I fail or when I fall. And so I want to tell you one time that I really, really, I love this. I love turning to Mama Mary. And I just started doing it recently with my son. So she can be there for my kids, you know, like when I can't. So like if they're sad, I can pray to my, like, please comfort them and be there for them. But nap time is the time that you need to call on Mama Mary.
Absolutely.
So what I just recently, the other day, I started doing this. I put my baby, he's like 20 months. I put him down in the bed and I give him his little puppy and I kiss his head and I say, good night. You know, I love you. And Mama Mary is here with you. And then I tiptoe away and I pray, Mama Mary, snuggle him. Mama Mary be with him. And she does. Like, she is there to like snuggle our kids or comfort our kids like when we can't. And I had like a pile of dishes or something. I ran off and did the dishes. And by the time I came back, Mama Mary had snuggled him right to sleep.
Oh, That's fantastic. I love that. And I love that you brought up the fact that, yes, we do aspire to be like these saints, but it's not just we have a tendency to individualize our reality to ourselves. We separate ourselves and we say, oh, well, I'm trying to attain that. Yes, I am. But at the same time, we have help. We have help from those who have already attained heaven, from those who are around us also trying to attain heaven. It's not just an individual race without a team support behind it. So I think that's something that, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm explaining it.
So like we put ourselves like in this separate box, like from the saints, and like we're trying to like jump into that box or something. But I don't think it's like that. I think we have to see ourselves more as all together and like on the same team, you know, like running the race, to use the biblical analogy.
Yes.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, because we tend to think we're running the race alone.
Yeah.
We tend to think it's just me and I'm trying to catch up with those who got to the finish line, or I'm trying to catch up with those who are ahead of me.
Yeah.
And the reality is we are running the race, as is said in the Bible, but we are running the race with others who are handing us cups of water to hydrate, or they're cheering us on, or they're saying you should have stretched, or whatever they do. I don't know.
And yeah.
there's a great support. We are not alone in our pursuit of holiness.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I'm starting to learn. Like, call on Mama Mary when I'm having those hard times, instead of having those hard times and looking at Mary and being like, well, I'm not good enough.
Yeah. You know what? And because if not that she's the be all end all, obviously God is, but she doesn't expect us to be perfect like her. She doesn't expect us to be the parent that she is. She is unique among all, and we're not going to be that. So yeah. I think sometimes we almost put these false expectations on ourselves and act as if they're coming from these exterior sources, whether they be our friends, our family, or our Heavenly Father or our Blessed Mother.
Yes. Yeah. So just accept yourself a little bit when you fall. Try again next time. Call on Mama Mary. So that's my number one, Mama Mary. Next up is Saint John Bosco, or I like to call him Don Bosco. Like, why did we, do you know why we changed from, I mean, that's his name, John Bosco.
I don't. I grew up hearing the term Don Bosco, and
yeah,
then I got older and people were like, hey, John Bosco. And I'm like, are they brothers? Like, is this a father-son thing going on? What, you know? Or are they both just from Bosco? Like, I didn't know. But no, they're the same guy. And
I know, my husband thought they were different guys too. I'm like, no, they're the same guy. But excuse me, sometime we switched. Okay, so I have a particular devotion to him, and I have since I was a kid. Oh, side note, when I was a kid, I had these like wacky, I still have them, like crazy, weird nightmares, like very disturbing sometimes. And Saint John Bosco, you read his stories, like he has these incredible dreams, and they're super crazy sometimes, but they're more like prophecy. My dreams were not prophecy, they're just weird. But I kind of connected to him that way. But now I continue to connect to him because a big part is because of his educational philosophy.
Okay.
So we homeschool, and his writings and his whole philosophy at how he looks at educating kids, like really impacts how I look at my role as the educator of my children. So you gotta go read his philosophy. Like I'll put a link in the show notes so that you can look at it, but his whole educational method, it's incredible. But here's this one quote that basically sums it up from him. It says, without confidence and love, there can be no true education.
That's fantastic.
I think that's incredible. And so he talks a lot about helping your kids and your students build confidence in themselves so that they can achieve their goals. But most of all, he talks about loving them. Like, you have to love them. If you don't love them, they can't learn. And when we have bad days in our homeschool, I just try to remind myself, like, am I loving them? Do they feel loved? Am I helping them love me? That's something that St. John Bosco talks about, is like helping your kids or your students love you and acting in a way towards them that evokes love. And sometimes I can be like that rigid, I don't know, disciplinarian, and you know, your kids, you need that sometimes. But if you do it too often, like, it doesn't evoke their love. Like, you don't want to evoke fear. So, like, his discipline philosophy reflects that too, like gentle discipline, you know, not fearful or authoritative, but, you know, things that inspire love and help them learn. I just think that he's incredible.
Well, and, you know, the whole idea of everything comes from God. Everything good comes from God. Now, that those good things can be twisted and used in evil ways. But when we are learning, when we are growing intellectually, when we are developing an understanding of the physical world or the spiritual world or of whatever it is we may be studying to comprehend, this all comes from God in one way or another.
And it all leads us back to God.
Exactly. And so when we approach education without a loving or compassionate approach as the first step, we tend to separate God from the education, from the academia. We tend to think of it more as, okay, here's what we are learning, and God is a whole separate thing. But all of this came from God, and yeah, God is love. So if we separate God from the educational system, if we separate God from how we develop, then we're really doing all of ourselves, and especially the children, a disservice.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what his whole thing was. Like, he built these oratories, he called them, and it was a place for prayer and a place for learning. Like, the two happened in the same place. And those were both, like, the main focus of what he was doing, you know, to help these children, form them intellectually, and to help them to know God. And I just love the pictures of him, the look in his eyes. Like, when I look at pictures of him, I don't know, I can just feel the love just emanating from him. And I can just imagine that the love that his students must have felt, you know, that he really honored them and cared for them. And I don't know, I feel it from him too. So he's a total patron of mine.
Awesome.
Next up, I got Saint Therese. Okay, and
the little flower.
And here's why I like her. I love that story where she's ministering to that cranky old nun, and she really doesn't like her, but, you know, she's being, like, super extra nice and kind to her. And I love this one line that she says. So Saint Therese, she says, or maybe I'm paraphrasing here, "I love you the most because I like you the least."
That's fantastic.
I just think really that's is incredible. Right. I love you the most because I like you the least. But, man, okay, so with my kids, I really struggle with a particular age range. I don't know if everybody has, like, that one age range that's most difficult for them. I don't know. Have you experienced that? Your kids are still young.
My kids are still young. I would say I struggle with, like, right after they're born through their current ages. I've struggled with that.
Okay.
I'll let you know when I get to the non-struggle. No, I don't know. It definitely varies. I love the newborn stage, but I'm not a breastfeeding mama. So I don't have that. So there's a lot. Yeah.
I struggle with, like, the 4-year-olds, like preschool age, maybe late 3, 4, maybe the 5-year-olds. That has always been the hardest for me. Like, I've always said I could not work in a preschool or work in daycare or whatever, because I just don't understand these children, like, what's going on inside their heads. And it pains me to say it, but I really, really don't like that age. And I love my children at that age, but it's really hard because I don't like it. My favorite age is high school, but we could talk about that later. So preschoolers are, like, the bane of my existence. And I struggle with them. Oh, man. Okay, maybe I shouldn't tell the story. Well, I can't not tell the story. I can't say that and then not tell it. Yeah. So my husband once had a dream that a particularly difficult child of ours, when they were in this age range, was like a demon in his dream, like an actual demon. And wow, he just woke up and he's telling me this. I'm like, yeah, that's not far from the truth. No, but for me, I really struggle with it. But this line from Saint Therese reminds me that as a parent, even when I have that difficult age or that difficult day or those difficult moments that I really, really do not like my child right now, I have to love that child more in those moments. I have to love that child the most in those moments. So I have a 4-year-old right now, and, you know, she's a little bit difficult for me. And I just try to remind myself to love her, love her, love her, just pour out this love on her. And Saint Therese said that cranky nun never had any clue that Saint Therese didn't like her.
Oh, well, that's good.
She thought she was Therese's favorite nun in the whole comment. And I'm like, okay, that is my challenge, to make my children feel that way when I'm having those moments, like those difficult days and those difficult years.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the whole idea of we mix up love and like, because as little kids, we were sitting there going, oh, well, I like somebody, and then I like them, and then I love them. And that's not like and love. And we'll talk about that more another time.
Yeah.
Being able to understand that you have to love somebody even when you don't like them. That's so important. And it's okay to not like them at that moment. Gosh, there's comedian Tim Hawkins once said, he's a Christian comedian, and he once said something about, you know, all you parents out there, you know, you know what it's like. You look at your kids and you think, I love you all, I just don't like that one right now. And we're very relatable.
Right. Well, and I also, and I hope that this is true, but I feel like I've heard that Saint Therese was a somewhat difficult young child. So that gives me hope that, like, even my most difficult kids can grow out of that and grow into sanctity. So I try to, like, keep that in mind and nurture that, like, as their mom. Like, maybe I'm raising a saint here. Which brings me to Saint Zélie Martin, Therese's mom.
Yes.
She's the next on my list. And you talked about her husband, St. Louis Martin, in the last episode. So just a reminder, if you didn't hear that episode, go back and listen to it. So Therese's, like, loving patience, I imagine, I mean, obviously this is just my speculation, but I imagine that loving patience that she had for that cranky nun, maybe she learned that from her mother's example of her loving patience for Therese when she was that age.
I never thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
I think there's writing. Okay, so let me look at this. There are writings like Saint Zélie's journals, and I haven't, like, read them in depth, but I've seen some quotes where she talks about, like, this child is driving me crazy. Again, I'm paraphrasing. And I imagine, like, that was her outlet, you know, do it in writing so she doesn't act that way towards them. But, you know, I don't know. That's just the thought that I have in my head about, okay, if she was able to, like, you know, raise Therese through this difficulty. But there's this other quote from her I want to read. It goes, I long for rest. I have not even the courage to struggle on. I feel the need of quiet reflection to think of salvation, which the complications of this world have made me neglect. She was so tired.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Like, I feel that, and I think that's really good for us to know that she's a saint, and she was exhausted, and she was tired. So it's okay. Like, we don't have to beat ourselves up if we're too exhausted to, like, keep the house in perfect order or make our kids homemade dinners or whatever, because saints are exhausted too.
Well, they'd have to be. They'd have to be if they're doing saintly work, which most of us hopefully are, even if we don't recognize it. That's... Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so relatable.
Well, and then she says, like, I feel the need for quiet reflection to think of salvation. Like, she was still longing for God in the midst of all that crazy, you know, mom life she was living, which makes me think about our chat about contemplative prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 4.
So, I think so.
Yeah, make sure you catch that one too, because that was a really good talk. I think
that was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh.
And I have.
Who do we have next?
Oh, I have two next. I cheated because this is the last one. So I picked Mary and Martha for the fifth one for Saints All Moms Need to Know.
Okay.
And so I kind of look at this in two different ways. It's really hard because I feel bad for poor Martha. Like, she was serving Jesus dinner and she was doing all this work. And then she was like, well, what's Mary doing? You know, she's just sitting around. And Jesus said, well, you know, she chose the better part. I was like, well, who would serve you dinner? If Martha wasn't serving, like, who's going to get your dinner ready? So that's, like, my prideful, selfish, like, surface way of looking at this.
Sure.
But I know that I need to dig deeper. And so when I stop to think about Mary and Martha, on the one hand, I see like, okay, there's a time for work, but there really is a time. We need to sometimes just stop and sit and pray and listen to Jesus. Mary really did choose the better part. And obviously we can't do that all the time, but we have to do it. If we don't do it, how can, you know, we really connect with Jesus? So that is the one, you know, takeaway I have from it. But then the other thing that I'm thinking of is when Martha was going around her work, she was complaining. So
it's true.
Yeah,
that
so
is
she,
true.
She wasn't having like a joyful heart of service. She was complaining and doing her duty, I would say probably without love, like without self-sacrificing love. And I wonder if maybe that's what Jesus was calling out in her. Because when he said Mary chose the better part, well, maybe Mary just chose to respond in love in her position. You know, Mary was responding in love. And maybe Martha didn't even have to like sit around and listen to Jesus and find that quiet time. Maybe Martha just had to go about her work with a heart full of love and with longing for Jesus. So I don't know. I have a couple different thoughts on that, but I think about them a lot, Mary and Martha, and like how they fit into what I'm supposed to be doing.
See, your thought process is so much deeper than mine. I hear the story of Mary and Martha, and instead of Martha, I hear Marcia, and then I think Brady Bunch, and then I think Marcia, 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 and then I'm just like, well, that's not what the gospel's about. And then I'm like, yeah, why did the Brady Bunch bring in that cousin kid when they were later? Oh, let's bring in another cute kid. That'll help ratings, and it didn't. Whatever.
You gotta dive then, you know, deep, Tim. Dive in deep.
Dive in deep. I'll try. No, but I'd never thought of it that way. I do remember hearing a bishop at a youth conference one time was giving a homily on this particular gospel. And he said, there are a lot of people who are going to hear homilies this weekend that say, it's about balance. It's not. They're wrong. It's about giving your all to Jesus. It's not about, well, do the work, but sit there as well. It's like, no. Give your all to Jesus all the time. And I love that he was just like, yeah, you're going to hear this. That's not it.
That's not it at all.
Here's what it really is. Yeah, I'm a bishop. And you know what? He's a bishop. I won't name him. He's a bishop I love and respect so much. I've never heard him say anything that I thought, well, that's not right. No, everything I've heard him say is right. So I always took that away from that. But I like how you see that. That's really good.
We'll see what I think about that next time. You know, you never know. It could change.
There you go. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. Join us next time for Do You Live Under a Rock? And, become a supporter of ours. Subscribe, comment, share, like us on social media, whatever you can do. We always appreciate the support and any feedback, any thoughts or questions or comments you might have. Sarah, where can people find you?
On my blog, tojesussincerely.com, or on social media at tojesussincerely. That's on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me at chastelove.org or on the different social medias at thechastelove. So remember, even as a toddler, Jesus probably pooped in the yard too. So you're doing just fine. Also remember, you're never alone.